Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show. What's up guys, Coach Steve here. Welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. Today I'm joined with one of Maxine's top 10 finalists, Yvonne Thorne. Yvonne, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Hi Steve, how are you going?
I'm really well. How are you today?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Look, you know, Yvonne, just a few days ago, you found out that you made it to the Maxine's top 10 finalists for the January Challenge. What has the past couple of days been like for you?
Yeah, it's been really good. Lots of congratulatory messages and lots of things on Facebook and my Instagram. So it's been really nice to be acknowledged in that way and to make the top 10. It's been great.
Look, you should be so proud of the achievements that you made. And I'm sure that you've inspired so many people within your communities, but then also within our online communities as well. So for that, you know, a big congratulations and a big thank you for inspiring people.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, Yvonne, I know a little bit about you, but I'm sure there are a few people who are listening who might not know who you are. So would you like to give us a little bit of an introduction of yourself, maybe tell us where you're from, maybe what you do for work, and who is Yvonne Thorne?
Yeah, okay. I live in the Southern Highlands, a bit cooler here. I'm a mum. They range in age from 24, 21, 19, and I have 4-year-old twin girls. They're very busy. I work full-time. I'm a senior accredited certifier. And yeah, we're just really busy and it's a bit full on, but that's me and it's been great.
So it sounds like you've got
it was hard to say. I'm very busy, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got lots going on for your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Now, Yvonne, let's talk about the challenge. And my understanding is you've done quite a few challenges with us. How many have you done?
I've done four.
Four consecutive. So your first challenge with us was in maybe 2019?
No, January 2020.
January 2020, just before COVID.
Yes. So COVID hit towards the end of that one and it was through the start of the second one as well. Yep.
Yeah.
So no gyms through that time.
So let's talk about why. So if we were to go back in a little time machine and think about January 2020, can you tell us a little story about why you chose to start that challenge?
Yeah, sure. Look, my weight had blown out. So I've been a bit of a yo-yo dieter and exerciser, and I got to a point where I knew if I didn't turn it around, it probably wasn't going to get any better anyway. So I started looking for a program. I also have my why is I've got very young children and I want to be able to keep up with them for a few more years. So yeah, so I started looking for a program that I knew would be sustainable, that the nutrition was okay. I didn't want something where I had to cut foods out or do shakes or any of that sort of stuff. And I really do enjoy the weight training. So I wanted something that involved that as well. Yeah. And I found this popped up on Facebook and I had a look at the training programs and the nutrition looked really balanced. So I gave it a go.
And then four challenges later, here we are.
Yeah, four challenges later, here we are, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a way of life for me now, so
yeah,
it's great. Yeah.
So, Yvonne, let's talk about we're going to call it the challenge career, right? You've done four back-to-back challenges. Can you maybe give us a little bit of a story about how maybe each challenge was a little bit different? So, for example, that first challenge, you know, maybe you're getting your feet in the water, then this last challenge, you did such a great job, made it in the top 10. Like, how has your approach to each challenge differed over the fourth challenges?
I think through each challenge, I've learned a lot. The first challenge, it was totally focused on losing a bit of weight and just getting my head around the program and the nutrition. I just followed the plan and there was things that I maybe didn't do in hindsight. I could have done more steps, more water, that sort of stuff. So they're the things you learn along the way. But I was just clearly focused on the weight loss in that round and I did the Tone and Shape program and I got great results from that. Lost quite a lot of weight and it really kick-started my fitness. So I felt great after that challenge and couldn't wait for the next one to start.
Yeah. So did you follow the Tone Shape program like each time or did you transition into like the Get Strong, the Back to Tone Shape? Or how did that go?
Okay. So the second challenge, I did the Get Strong program. I liked the format of the training. So I thought I'd give that a go. And I got really good results from that. I gained a lot of strength. I still lost weight through that challenge. And I was really happy with my results. So I didn't place anywhere in that challenge, but that didn't matter. I achieved my own goals and I was really happy with that. So yeah, the third challenge, I also did get strong because again, I really liked the training, the way that set out. So I did that. And again, same thing, still lost some weight. So, but gained a lot of strength through that challenge as well. And again, didn't place, but did achieve my own goals. So I was again, really happy with that. And that led into this challenge, the January challenge. And I really wanted to lose those final few kilos. So I went back to the Tone and Shape program for this challenge because I knew that there was more of a chance of losing a lot more weight doing that type of training and nutrition. And that worked for me as well. So I've made the top 10. So I'm really, really happy with that one.
Yeah, amazing. It's amazing to hear your story, how you've done one challenge, done second challenge, third challenge, and then this fourth challenge, it's almost like you took it to that next level and you learned things along the way. So maybe that first challenge, like you said, you maybe you could have done a few more steps or maybe drunk a little bit more water or, you know, been a little bit more accountable or whatever it was. And then each challenge, you progressively got better. And I think that's a really great way of thinking where sometimes we see these images online of these before and afters of this 12-week journey. And we only look at that 12-week journey being like, oh, that person lost 10 kilos in 12 weeks. But you always forget that that person might have had years of battling and trying and getting better to get that final before and after.
That's right.
And it's a shame when we see people give up after their first attempt at the challenge or even just away from the challenge, their first attempt at fitness. You know, they go to the gym for a couple of months and they're like, oh, I haven't lost the weight yet. I saw online that there's this person lost this much weight in 12 weeks and they feel disheartened. And you kind of forget that it's such a long journey because it takes so long. It really is. Yeah. And sure, like now you have all the skills to be able to manage your composition, to choose where you want to go. If you want to go back into get strong or go through a mass phase, or if you want to build up your cardiovascular fitness, whatever it is, you have the skills now to be able to do that. You've got your tool bag
That's
now.
Right.
But it's taken four challenges, like a whole year and a half of learning to get you're in position now. And it's exciting to see that you're inspiring other people online. I'm sure that you're inspiring your young kids to prioritize fitness and health and everything in between. So it's, I mean, that's amazing to hear, Ron. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. And it is, it's really good to inspire people because that motivates me to keep going as well. So, you know, there's quite a few people have joined the challenge because of my results. And that makes me feel really good that I've inspired them to better their own fitness and health. So it's really good.
Amazing. Look, now let's talk about some challenges that you might have faced over not only this challenge, but maybe over your time doing the challenge. But firstly, you know, what was it like with your work schedule? Right at the start, you said that you're quite busy, you got lots going on. What was it like to make time to go to the gym, do your steps, do your meal prep, all the things in between, and look after young kids? Like, tell us what that was like.
Yeah, look, over the four challenges, it's taken a while to get all of that down pat and organized, and I've tried different ways of doing that, but I think I finally got myself organized. So with my time, I now train very early in the morning, so before everyone's out of bed really. So I go to the gym and I train, I come home, I organize myself ready for work, then I organize the children, and then off to daycare and work and home again and start again with meals and bath and bed and things like that. But with my own organization, I go to the gym obviously really early in the morning. I get some steps in then, but I always go for a walk at lunchtime. It gets me away from a desk and, you know, it feels really good to go for a walk and get some extra steps in that way. So I think it's really important to have your family on board. Without the support of my family, I wouldn't be able to arrange my time that way. Mm-hmm. So that's been really good for me and really important.
Now, Val, were you always an early riser? Like, was that something that you've always kind of done?
No.
No. Yeah, okay.
No, not at all, because I've actually always been a bit of a night owl, because as most mums with young children, you know, you get your kids off to bed and then it's your time. You want to sit down and relax for a little while and have some me time. So I've kind of sacrificed that me time now so that I can go and get some sleep and get up nice and early and do. So it's about priorities, I guess. It's, you know, it's the same 24 hours. You just got to get your priorities right and get them in order the way, work it out so that you can fit everything in.
Yeah. I think a common challenge that almost all challenges face is finding time. And you're right, we all have the same 24 hours in the day, and some of us live very full lifestyles where we're squeezing out every minute of every day, and some of us are a little bit more free with our time to do these things. Tell us, what was it like, using the example of waking up early in the morning, what was it like when you started to make those decisions and transition into maybe a different sleeping schedule? And what was that effect like on your family? You said that you had to get your family on board. Like, did you have to speak with your partner or your kids, or have to organize things so that you can change your lifestyle from like a night owl to like an early morning riser? Like, what was that process like?
It was. So I just have to make sure there's someone here so I can leave the house to go to the gym of a morning. So my partner's still here, or my husband's still here until say 6 a.m. So my older children are here. So it's them knowing that in that time period, the children might come and see them for assistance with something if they wake up. So it's just them all being on board with that, and everyone was happy with that. So I'm quite lucky in that regard that I do have that help in the mornings. Yeah. Because that would make it really hard if I didn't have someone here. So, and over nighttime, it's actually made it a lot better because I'm meal prepping and things like that. Things flow a bit better of an afternoon, and I'm not trying to cook, trying to do everything and cramming it all in until midnight, which is how it used to go. So
yeah, yeah.
Just to be more organized. So, and just having them to help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chip in.
So talk to me a little bit about getting everyone on board, because there's so many anxieties that come out of that, especially as being like a mother and you feel like you need to make sure everybody else and put everybody else first. What was it like when you transitioned to say, I want to do this for me? Like, did you feel that you were doing something selfish? Was there any like anxieties around that? And like, was it a difficult process, or was everyone really quite on board with you making these changes?
I was lucky enough. Everyone was on board with it and supported me and encouraged me, really. So I'm fortunate in that regard that my children and my husband have all been really, really supportive. I imagine if they weren't, that it would make things very difficult to not have that support. But yeah, I've been really fortunate that they've all chipped in and helped where required. Even the little ones, they see me with my gym bag if I go later on the weekend or something, and they know that where I'm going, and there's no complaints. So in that regard, I'm really lucky.
So good. Because I guess as a coach, I see it quite often where there are those fears and anxieties, and especially women quite feel selfish that I'm going to go to the gym, it's me time, I'm going to go and do my meal prep or something similar. But once you challenge those anxieties, you find that your family are quite supportive, right? And you find that everyone you is quite accepting of you and going doing these things. But it's just taking that step, being like, no, I'm not being selfish. I'm doing this for everybody because I'm looking after me so that I can, like you said right at the start, be there for the young ones when they're, so you can keep up with them, right?
That's right. I want to be able to run around with them. And if I'm not healthy or very overweight, I'm not going to be able to do that. So, but they've all been very supportive. But I mean, I've also still maintained doing what I normally do. So I'm still cooking for them. I'm still doing the things I always did. Mm-hmm. I've just rearranged them a little bit. So yeah, I guess in that regard, no one's really missing out. We're just doing it in a different order.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about mealtime with the family and doing the challenge. And often an apprehension of new challenges is that they feel that they are going to be eating something different to everybody else. What was dinner time like? Were you eating your own meal and the family was having something else, or were you all eating a similar meal? Like, what was that like?
So we're probably all eating a similar meal. Mine's just a little bit different, but sometimes we do eat different meals. I prep a lot just for me and freeze them so that I can do that. I still come home and cook for the family and have my own meal at the same time. Sometimes we all have the exact same meal. They just have a modified version. So when we have, for instance, we have the healthy burgers with the sandwich thins, and I'll have zucchini wedges and they'll have chips, you know. So if I do a stir fry, I do mine in a separate pan without oil and other things, but we're still having a similar meal. So I think you can fit it in. I think you can manage it with the normal family meals. It's you just need to modify it a little bit for yourself, really.
Yeah, yeah. I think when we look at like something like the challenge nutrition plans, they are just whole foods, right? We've got we've got fruits and vegetables. We have things like pasta and rice, and we have really simple protein sources like beef and chicken and such. And in more cases than not, that's still a meal that a whole family can have, maybe just with different portion sizes, right? If you've got a five-year-old, like they might not be eating the same portion as you, but you could still have a spaghetti bolognese for dinner, right? And even if you do have some fussy eaters in your household, like you said, those really small changes like making zucchini chips instead of potato chips can go a long way so that it's not weird or different that mum's having something else to everybody else. It's like, hey, we're all enjoying this food together as a family. And then I'm sure that your kids have changed the way that they look at food now and be like, oh, well, mum's eating this, I want to eat like that as well. And imagine those flow-on effects, especially as they become young adults, right?
Yeah, and that's a big thing as well, is that just being that role model for them seeing me exercising. Like my little ones pick up little dumbbells and they do go for fruits and things like that now, you know, rather than asking for other things. So it is really good to see that they're picking up on those really good habits.
Yeah, so good. Look, Yvonne, let's talk now about change. So you've spoken a lot about how your life has changed already, but if you were to go back in that time machine back to January 2020, you know, all through COVID and all the other things, can you tell us as a super summary, like how has your life changed since doing these consecutive challenges, losing the weight, getting involved in more fitness and eating in a different way? Like, can you summarize how your life has changed for us?
Yeah, well, I'm healthier and happier. I've got a lot more energy. Actually, my quality of sleep has improved probably 100%. Mm-hmm. A lot more self-confidence. I actually enjoy food more, the taste of it. I've formed really good eating and exercise habits, and that makes me feel good as well. I've got a better relationship with food as well. I look at it more now as fuel and know that if I don't eat the right fuel, I'm not going to be able to get the best out of my workout. So it's that different mindset. So lots of changes for me, and it's been really good. I couldn't be happier with the changes.
So good. Look, let's talk a little bit about your training. So could you summarize what your training was like before the challenge? You mentioned that you were going to the gym a little bit before the challenge. What was it like back then before you started the program?
I didn't have a real... If just immediately before the challenge, I wasn't really going to the gym. It was probably a year before that. I had like a program that I followed, but I only went a couple of days a week and I wasn't, I just went whenever. I wasn't consistent at all. And just before the challenge, the only fitness I had was I play hockey. So I was still playing hockey, but that's only once a week. So yeah, I knew I really needed to step it up. But yeah, having a plan to follow is everything. You're a lot more organized and you know that each day there's a different set of exercises and they're all in front of you. So it makes a huge difference, makes things a lot easier.
Yeah. So you said that you really enjoyed the strength training side of things. What was it like navigating yourself around the gym? I'm going to assume that you might have been new to some of the exercises on our plan. Like, what was it like learning those exercises, making your way around the gym and starting to get stronger and build some muscle? Like, what was that process like?
Yeah, it was a bit daunting at first, not knowing how to use a lot of the equipment or how to do just even dumbbell curls and things like that. So I watched the videos. So I think the first challenge I did, I had paper. So I went back into the program and looked at all the videos. And I mean, the spreadsheets now are great where I can just go in and if I'm unsure of something and I just, I watch the video before I do it. I might watch it a couple of times actually, just to try and get the technique right. So I spend a lot of time trying to get my technique correct. And yeah, just your confidence grows from there. Once you've learned how to do something and you can navigate your way around the gym, yeah, your confidence definitely grows. It's easier to walk in and get it done.
Yeah, I think there's so many, again, anxieties around entering the gym, especially if you don't, it's a new place. It's, you don't know what the equipment is. You don't know what this barbell thing is. And even a simple exercise like a barbell curl, like a bicep curl, can create lots of I'm going to use that word again, anxiety, is where you're like, oh, yeah, I don't even know how to do this. This feels weird. This feels very foreign. And then we often fall in this kind of rut where we know the treadmill. Okay, I'll just go to the treadmill because that's my like little safe spot. You might sit on the treadmill for half an hour or so. Then, oh, great, there's my workout. But once you kind of challenge yourself, watch those videos a few times, be like, oh, okay, I can do this. And you become a little bit more confident around the gym. And that's when we can see some really amazing changes, just like you have.
Yeah, yeah. And I think educating yourself a little bit as well. Like, I listen to all the podcasts and read a lot of things that are put out there, like with the progressive overload and things like that. So reading those articles and just educating yourself is really good for your self-confidence in the gym.
Yeah.
To learn how to do things properly.
So tell us, what was your favorite exercise in the gym?
Oh, probably deadlifts.
Deadlift?
Yeah. Yeah, deadlift. I'd say it's my favorite. It's just I feel really challenged by that. I'm a bit scared of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, yeah. So I really enjoy doing deadlifts and get quite excited when I manage to increase the weight a little. So that's good.
Yeah. Are you just a regular deadlifter or have you dabbled in the sumo deadlift?
I have. I've done both.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely still in the regular.
In the regular. Yeah. No, awesome. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about the deadlift. What was the learning process like for the deadlift? Like, did you just kind of start, pick it up, okay, and then did you start watching some videos, read up on it? Did you seek out help? What was the learning process for something like the deadlift?
Yeah, I just watched the videos, to be honest, and I watched them several times to see foot placement, hand placement, how to hold your back and things like that for posture and things. Like, I watched them quite a lot to try and get that technique right and to make sure I wasn't going to injure myself. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I did that. That's how I learned. And then just practice and keep doing them.
Did you ever, like, film yourself?
Yes, I have several times, yeah. Yeah, I think I actually did one for a technique critique. So I did that one. I think I was doing 70 kilos then. And I did one last weekend where I've finally gotten up to the 100.
So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
The triple digits, that's huge.
Yes, it was exciting.
Awesome. Look, Yvonne, from here, let's talk about advice. So I'm sure many people have reached out to you online, either wanting to start the fitness thing or to maybe join the challenge or something similar. What advice would you give some of those people who are reaching out to you and wanting to get fit and healthy themselves?
I think if someone's starting the plan, just to try and at first keep it simple. Don't overthink it. Get your nutrition plans and your training plans and adjust them so that they fit with you so that you can actually do them. Don't put things in there that you know you probably can't do to start off with. Make sure it's a plan that you're going to be able to stick to. Set some goals, whether it's a big goal or some little goals. You might set a goal for the whole 12 weeks, or you might set a goal to get through the next 2 weeks, but set some goals so that you've got something to think about and to try and achieve. And then just commit. Once you've got your plan in place, commit to that plan and commit to the process. And I think then it's the compliance, isn't it? You've got to comply with it. You've got to stick to that plan. Try not to stray from it. But if you do and you find something's not working, and go back and redo your plan, but then start again and refocus, reset, and try and comply with it. But I think the biggest thing is to be consistent, and that's across everything. Be consistent with your nutrition, be consistent with your training. You know, set yourself up to get through it rather than self-sabotage, because we're all really good at self-sabotage. You know, we can convince ourselves of anything. I think if you're consistent throughout the 12 weeks, you'll achieve your goals. With things like at the start of the program, if you don't trust yourself to have certain things in your cupboards, make sure you remove them, because it's really hard to open your cupboard every day and there's something there that you might not be able to resist. If that's the case, get rid of it. Fill your fridge and your pantry with good, healthy, whole foods so that if you do go for something, it'll be a piece of fruit or something like that. And tell your family and friends what you're doing. I think that's a really important thing. Get them on board. It's really good. Like, all of my work colleagues know that I'm in the challenge, and they don't come around and try and make me have morning tea or chocolates or whatever. So it's getting people to know what you're doing, and it lessens their expectations for social things. So I think it's really important to let people know what you're doing. And also they might encourage you as well and give you a bit of support. So that's really good as well. And if you fall, get back up. Start again, start, reconfigure, refocus, go back to your plan, make it work for yourself. At the end of the day, you're doing it for you, not for anyone else. You've got your own goals, and yeah, do it for you. That would be my advice.
I love it. That's some quality advice there, Yvonne, for committing to the process, setting goals, and, you know, simply being consistent, right? And
yeah.
I think when and if we do fail, like, it is definitely a learning experience, right? Either we fail because we've gone too hard too quickly, or we failed because of our environment isn't suitable for what we are expecting of ourselves. And it's a great time to reflect, all right, why did I not achieve what I wanted to achieve? And then how can I make it better the next time? And it might mean that you take a slight step back, or instead of aiming for 10,000 steps, you aim for 5,000 steps. Or instead of trying to drink 3 liters of water, you aim to drink just 1 liter of water. But if you scale your goal so that it's achievable, then you could build up on that. But, you know, consistency is the science. The consistency is where it's at.
That's,
and
right,
you could have the best program in the world, but if you don't follow it, well, it's just a piece of paper, right?
That's right. Yep. Yeah, I truly believe that consistency is definitely the most important thing.
I love it. Look, Yvonne, let's wrap it up there. I want to thank you so much for donating some of your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. And, you know, like I said at the start, you should be so proud of what you've achieved throughout your challenge career and your fitness career. And, you know, you've inspired so many people, I'm sure, within your own circles, but then online with us as well. And for that, I truly thank you. So congratulations on a big result.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.